Hi, everyone. This is Kevin. Today is Wednesday, August 4th, and on today's podcast, I'm speaking with our EB physicians, Doc Andrews and Doc Hurley. Thank you both for joining the podcast. And as physicians, you've been on the front lines managing this pandemic, and your resources we have grown to trust for the simple truths on getting through this. There's been a lot of confusion in the last couple of weeks with the spread of the Delta variant of COVID. And in my podcast on Monday, I emphasized the importance of vaccines in controlling this pandemic. Some people are hesitating to get the vaccine because they think the vaccines were developed quickly and are therefore experimental. The technology behind the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines is new, but not unknown. Let's talk about that as well as the technology behind the J&J viral vector vaccine. Doc Andrews?
So there is a lot of material on the CDC and the public health websites explaining how the vaccines work. Sometimes I'd say there's even too much material, so I will try to simplify the information. Let's start with the messenger RNA vaccines that teach our cells how to make proteins that trigger an immune response inside our bodies. The immune response produces antibodies, which are the items that actually protect us from getting infected if the real virus enters our bodies. The messenger RNA vaccines trigger our cells to produce a harmless protein. This is called the spike protein. The spike protein is also located on the surface of the COVID virus. Our cells display the spike protein, then our immune response recognizes the protein does not belong there and begins building an immune response with antibodies. In this way, we have taught our cells to identify and fight the COVID virus. Alternatively, vector vaccines like the J&J vaccine contains a modified version of a different virus than the COVID-19. Inside the shell of the modified version is a piece of material from COVID-19. This unit is called the viral vector. Once the viral vector is inside our cells, and I mean that not to be the COVID-19 virus, then our cells make copies of the unique protein. Our T and B lymphocytes will remember this unique protein and fight it if we are infected in the future. So the biggest difference in the two vaccines is the first stage of the immune response. One relies on the messenger RNA, while the other relies on a vector to start the process of building spike proteins that will trigger our immune system to produce antibodies that ultimately recognize if COVID-19 enters our bodies. It is also important to remember that just because the vaccines were developed fast, no steps were skipped in the process of making them.
Thanks, Dr. Andrews. Appreciate that explanation. The media has been focusing on breakthrough infections among the vaccinated with this Delta variant. And how rare are breakthrough infections? And when they do occur, how sick do people get generally? Doc Hurley?
A breakthrough case means that somebody who has been fully vaccinated and has waited the 2 weeks to develop full immunity still contracts COVID-19. Breakthrough infections are actually expected. While the vaccines have proven highly effective against the virus, even for new variants like the Delta, they do not offer perfect protection. That's one of the reasons why the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention last week revised its guidance and recommended that in places with high rates of transmission, such as the state of Oklahoma, even vaccinated people should wear masks in public indoor settings. The good news is that vaccines have been found to be extremely good at preventing serious illness and death. Of those hospitalized with the virus, more than 97% are the unvaccinated. The CDC estimates that for every 102,000 vaccinated individuals, only 100 end up in the hospital and only one will die. While those numbers are not perfect, they are very, very good. If vaccinated people come down with infections, the vast majority will be asymptomatic or mild. Nonetheless, they may still be able to spread the virus to others before their immune system, which has been primed by the vaccine, stamps it out. Preliminary data suggests that when people do get breakthrough infections, they carry a high amount of the virus for at least 1 week. As with the original strain of the coronavirus, dose does seem to matter with the Delta variant. The higher the load of viral exposure, well, think of like a brief masked encounter versus spending hours and hours unmasked in a room with an infected person. The high viral exposures, the more likely the immune defenses will become overwhelmed and result in a symptomatic or serious infection. currently, the data shows that with 163 million people in the United States fully vaccinated, you can expect up to about 125,000 and change breakthrough cases. The data is still coming in, and this number can be found as low as 7,000 and beyond 125,000, and this is as of July 30th. But what it translates to is about 0.08% or one in every 1,300 cases will become a breakthrough case. The CDC has developed a National Vaccine Breakthrough Recording Database so that more information can help us determine what the true rate is. But remember, the bottom line is that vaccination prevents severe illness, hospitalizations, and death.
Thanks, Dr. Hurley. You know, some people have also talked about hesitating to get the vaccine because the current vaccines have emergency use authorizations rather than the full FDA approval. And let's talk about the amount of safety and efficacy data that's been generated so far through the administration of these vaccines. Doc Hurley?
So full FDA approval is an important milestone. A number of universities and hospitals, the Defense Department, and at least one major city, San Francisco, are expected to mandate inoculation once a vaccine is fully FDA approved. Final approval could also help mute the misinformation circulating on the internet about the safety of vaccines and also clarify the legal issues that some have raised in order to thwart public health mandates. Pfizer filed its application on May 7, 2021. With the new surge of COVID-19 infections, the Food and Drug Administration has accelerated its timetable to fully approve Pfizer's BioNTech coronavirus vaccine, aiming to complete the process by the start of next month. The White House has set a timeline of prior to Labor Day. Moderna, the second most widely used vaccine in the United States, filed for final approval of its vaccine on June 1st, 2021. But the company is still submitting data and has not said when it will finish. And lastly, the Johnson & Johnson, the third vaccine authorized for emergency use, has not yet applied, but plans to do so later this year.
And I was going to talk a little bit about safety of the vaccine. So over 342 million doses of the COVID vaccine have been given in the U.S. So prior to emergency use authorization, or the EAU approval, tens of thousands of people were studied in clinical trials. Since the original trials, millions more people have been vaccinated, just demonstrating how safe and effective they really are. The three well-publicized and serious but rare problems I wanted to discuss real quickly are anaphylaxis, which is the severe allergic reaction. This usually occurs within 30 minutes of administration of any of the vaccines, and it happens at a rate of 2 per million. The second that people have heard about is thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome. This was mostly with the J&J vaccine at a rate of 7 per 1 million, and it was in women between the ages of 18 and 49. And was even less often for men and women over the age of 50. And the third one was the myocarditis and pericarditis, with 1,194 cases reported, of which only 699 have been confirmed so far. So again, the bottom line is the benefits from the vaccine of decreasing your risk of severe illness, hospitalization, and death far outweigh the risks of the vaccines themselves.
So bottom line, the vaccines are safe and effective. And now they are also readily available. How can our folks access the vaccine through our EB channels?
So first, all states have the vaccine readily available through the Department of Public Health and private sectors such as Walgreens, CVS, and even Walmart. So no matter what state you're in, you can access vaccines. In Connecticut, the Yard Hospital and the EB Family Pharmacies have vaccines. The Yard Hospital has Moderna and a couple doses of the J&J vaccine. The Groton EB Family Pharmacy has the Pfizer vaccine, and in Rhode Island, the EB Family Pharmacy has the vaccine as well. So both pharmacies, the Yard Hospital, dispensary, and the Wellness Center also would be happy to answer any questions about the vaccine and direct you and your family to either our sites where you can get the vaccine or to community vaccination sites if you prefer that route.
Well, thanks, Docs. The recent spread of the Delta variant and the communication around it has been confusing, frustrating, and fluid. That's actually irrelevant. What's true about managing this virus has not changed. People need to get vaccinated. If you're sick, stay home, wash your hands frequently, and try to be outside as much as possible. Those not yet vaccinated should wear a mask outdoors when they're in a crowd, at a large event, or in a public place where keeping their distance from others is difficult, and must wear a mask indoors at all times. Docs, thank you for taking the time to talk about COVID vaccines and COVID again. Our highest priority at Electric Boat is safety, and the best way to ensure you're safe from COVID, meaning you don't die or get sick from it, is to please get vaccinated. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again soon.